Digital Music. Digital Music Trends, episode 124th of June, 2012. Hello everyone and welcome to Digital Music Trends. Wow, episode 100 is a pretty exciting milestone, so thanks for tuning in, both if you're a long-time listener or if you just found out about the podcast. So it's a great pleasure today to have as a guest on the show, Jason Herskowitz, to talk about what some have described as the future of digital music consumption. And I would tend to agree, which is Project Tomahawk. So hi, Jay, and thanks for joining me on the show today. How's things?
Oh, it's great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be able to talk to you.
Cool. So, you know, today we're going to talk for the most part about Tomahawk and everything surrounding it. But I just want to start a little bit with your background. So, what are you up to? What is your background within the music space?
Sure. You know, I'm kind of an old timer when it comes to music tech. I've been kicking around the space for a while. In the past, I worked at places like AOL, where I worked on one of their early music subscription services called Music Now, and yeah. Also worked a little bit on Winamp and Shoutcast and AOL Radio. After that, I did a little bit of time at a company called Total Music, which was a joint venture between Universal and Sony. Yeah. That actually never launched, but we did a fair amount of work there. Also spent a couple of years at LimeWire, of all places, trying to build. Actually, we did build a subscription music service there that never launched as well.
Oh yeah, I recall that.
Yeah. So, right now I currently work at Official FM, where I work on a music promotion platform for artists and labels, yeah. and get to spend whatever free time I can really focusing on Tomahawk and kind of where we want to take that. So yeah, it's been quite a number of years, and I always like to joke that I'm too dumb to get out of the music tech space.
Yeah. So how did the project start out, and what was the original idea for it?
Yeah, sure. So Tomahawk, we've been working on Tomahawk, well, geez, almost 2 years now. And Tomahawk kind of was born out of an earlier project called Playdar, which was really early, you know, kind of really early stages and was never really a kind of a consumer-friendly a project. But just the concept behind both Tomahawk and Playdar really was, given the name of a track, just find me the best available source and play it. And so that is, you know, given kind of the way I like to say it is, if you were going to build, you know, Winamp or iTunes or a media player from scratch today, you would build it the way Tomahawk is, and that's really with the notion that there's music everywhere, MP3s, as well as both local MP3s and remotely stored MP3s, as well as streaming services.
Yeah.
And so the ability to be able to just kind of seamlessly handle streaming from one source to the next without the user having to know kind of where or even care kind of where that content's coming from, whether it's coming from their Spotify account or SoundCloud or their remote machine or their local machine, was really kind of one of the key problems we wanted to solve. And as we kind of build that out, we realized that there's a great opportunity to leverage the way that Tomahawk works, which is really at the metadata level.
Yeah.
So it kind of decouples the metadata from the source and then finds the best available source for that particular user at that particular time. That actually enables this great kind of translation layer across services, across territories, kind of across music experiences. So those are kind of the two core things that I get really excited about.
Yeah.
Once you kind of build the foundation on that, then you can do all kinds of great stuff on top of it within the user experience, like, you know, listening along with friends, building stations, building dynamic playlists, doing all kinds of stuff that you would want out of a media player, and being able to handle things like that.
And you have also put together, you know, a pretty awesome team of developers, as well as the open source community that can contribute into helping the project out. And the awesome team, plus the fact that more and more companies are making their APIs available for a service like yours, it kind of creates a perfect storm for this kind of platform to take off.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And actually, I feel the same way, that it just felt like everything came, you know, the trends in the industry have all kind of come together. And exactly, you're totally right. With the APIs that are available and the openness, and the open source community has been great for us. And you know, the team, we kind of all found each other, which was great, which is, you know, one of the great things about open source and those communities. We kind of found each other and you know, self-identified, like, we want to work on this. Yeah. And so we have been, yeah.
So you just released the 5.0 version of Tomahawk, which is really a great step towards the making the software consumer-friendly and putting it in front of as many people as possible. How did you go about reshaping the way the software is presented to the consumer? Because there's quite a big gap between what was the software up to, you know, a couple of days ago to how it is today. It's so much easier to understand and to get into.
Yeah, great. So yeah, it's actually, just like clarification, it's actually not 5.0, it's actually 0.5.
Oh, so, sorry.
yeah, no, which I only bring up because we have come a long way from certainly the earlier builds, but, you know, I just kind of point that out because we know we still have a lot more we want to do before we feel like this is a true, like, 1.0 product.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is really around that user experience. And so, you know, we've been, I'm trying to remember when the last release was. But you know, it was earlier this year, and we've always known that kind of the design and the user experience was the stuff that needed kind of the most love.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've been focused on that. There's still more to do in terms of making it really usable and really easy for kind of what we call normal people.
Yeah.
But you know, as we've started to as we continue to solve the really kind of hard problems or have solved a lot of the hard problems underneath, it's given us the ability to really focus more on the user experience for this build, and you know, moving forward, continue to be able to do a lot more there from the interaction design as well as the actual you know, aesthetic design. There's a lot that we want to do there, and you know, with open source, it's actually really challenging to get designers to contribute, which is, you know, I think probably one of the hardest parts for any kind of open source project is they always kind of look open source.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we still have that a little bit, but we're trying really hard to kind of move past that. And we've actually been recently contacted by a couple of designers with fantastic portfolios that are actually interested in contributing. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope to be able to kind of get some of that even further polish and refine it into the next release. So yeah, I keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah. In terms of the social side of the Tomahawk project, so you have a Twitter connection, a Google contacts connection, and how do users interact within the software?
Sure. So what you can do is you can directly connect to your friends over, like you said, Google Talk, or Jabber. Google Talk actually is built on top of Jabber, or Twitter. And what that does is when you connect to, so for example, if you use Google Talk or Jabber, they kind of work the same way. If you're logged in to those accounts, and any of your friends on those networks are also logged into Tomahawk, you'll get a message basically asking if you want to connect to them. And if you both accept that, then basically you directly connect to each other, and from then you can then see each other's libraries, playlists. You can listen along to each other in, you know, almost real time, and so, you know, you can just browse each other's stuff and play it. And once again, when I try to play something out of you know, my friend's library, it will do the same thing it always does, and that is, what's the best available source for me from that song?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't necessarily have to come from them. It may be, you know, one of the great kind of things I love to do is I'll listen along with somebody, and they'll be listening to it out of their local, you know, a local copy of a song they have. And for me, it will resolve to Spotify or resolve to my home machine, which is kind of cool to think that I'm listening along to you and I'm streaming it from my home machine, and you're playing it off your local disc. So so that's great. And Twitter does a slightly different handshake. But, you know, similar, if you're mutual followers on Twitter, you can basically post a message that will trigger a direct message handshake that allows the two instances of Tomahawk to connect directly. And then you have the same kind of relationship at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's also a very interesting layer of playlisting on the service, which is something that for me has been a core problem in trying to navigate different services up to now. But the new release actually brings in some synchronization between the Spotify playlists and the Tomahawk playlists. So that's really cool. So can you talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, no, that's actually one of my favorite new features, because we don't have a mobile Tomahawk client yet. It's certainly something that we will be working on. But so it's great if you've got a Spotify account, and you know, just to clarify, the Spotify Resolver only works for people with a paid Spotify Premium account. So what that does is we're now able to synchronize any of your playlists both ways from Tomahawk to Spotify. So the use case that I love is I use Spotify on my mobile. And so when I just drag stuff into my playlist on Tomahawk and I get up and leave, that stuff just, you know, magically appears in on your Spotify mobile client just as it would as if you did it on the Spotify desktop client, which is great because then, you know, it's able to bring that stuff back. And the same thing when I star something on my mobile, it will just show up in Tomahawk. So we'll look to do that with more services. We definitely want to, you know, integrate with more than Spotify when it comes to subscription music services, and we're in conversations with a couple, if not a few more existing services to be able to do that and to synchronize stuff. So to me, like, data portability is one of the key kind of most important things that this industry needs to support.
Yeah.
So not only does it sync, to Spotify, we also are able to understand and handle links for playlists from RDO, from Grooveshark, from, you know, song links from iTunes, from Spotify. And all you have to do is basically, if somebody tweets any of that stuff out or you see it posted, you just drag that link and drop it onto Tomahawk, either into a playlist or into the queue or onto the now playing controls, and it will just do the right thing. It will figure out all the songs that are in that playlist and just play them.
That's awesome. That's so cool. And we talked about the social side. We talked about the playlists, but another aspect that makes Tomahawk really unique in the sense that it links all these things together is the discovery side, because you've actually worked quite a bit on that, and there's a lot of potential to discover charts, new releases, also auto-create playlists. So there's a really wealth of information in there that you've managed to aggregate together.
Yeah, which is, you know, again, these things just become so much more possible, again, just by this core approach of given, you know, we can give Tomahawk data from basically anywhere and then, you know, at the user level, match that to whatever the sources are. So it's great. So we do pull in, like you said, charts are probably my most used feature. And we pull in charts from iTunes, Billboard, Spotify, RDO, We Are Hunted, XFM, Hype Machine, and we pull in new releases via Rovi.
Yeah.
So it's great. So given that data, you know, all we need to know is the song name and the track name, the track name and the artist name, and then it will match against anything you have. So it's great. I mean, I listen to, like, the We Are Hunted charts, I think are great. I listen to those all the time.
Yeah.
The new releases is kind of the second place I go every time I come in to find new stuff. But yeah, it's definitely made it, the biggest goal, I think, for us, or kind of any music experience, is, like, how quickly can you get somebody to hit play?
Yeah.
Right. If you can get somebody down a path of listening, then, you know, and make it easy for them to kind of cross navigate and find new stuff, then that's, you know, that's the most important job. Once you get them going, then you're good.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about the software so far, but you actually have launched a new page, which is a web-based service, which can be accessed. Also works great on the iPad, for example, which is toma.hk,
right.
Which is it's brand new, isn't it?
It is. You know, there was a very basic kind of hack that was done a couple months ago, but with this new Tomahawk release, we also spent a good amount of effort on really building out the site as well. And, you know, it follows very much the same concept, but we've also, you know, taken the approach of, we know not everybody wants desktop software for their music experiences. So it doesn't require you to have Tomahawk at all. And it will, again, resolve against a whole bunch of sources, you know, YouTube, Deezer, RDO, all these things. And so you've got the ability to basically, again, just give it any song name, an artist name, or even now the ability to generate playlists or share playlists from Tomahawk to Tama.hk. And you know, you'll see it do the same thing. It will query all those different services and it'll bring back results, and you can play from whichever source you want. And if you happen to have Tomahawk running, it actually can detects whether Tomahawk's running. If you have Tomahawk running, then it also enables you to basically grab all that stuff and bring it into Tomahawk. So it's a kind of a similar mindset to you know, to me, I liken it to something like Instapaper or Pocket. Like, you can read the stuff on the web, but you also may just want to grab it and take it with you, and so you don't forget about it. And so that's actually, it's one of my favorite things. And you'll see a bunch more stuff coming with the site as well, probably shortly after. Over the next few weeks, we've got a bunch of other stuff that's kind of already in the works that we look to add to that soon.
Absolutely. And so of course, if the listeners are not so comfortable in going downloading the software straight away, they can definitely jump onto toma.hk and check out, you know, the core functionality that is then replicated on the software level from a browser, which is great.
Right. And like you said, you know, it works mobily too, which is great. You know, if I see a link, while I'm mobile, hit my Twitter stream, I'll just listen to it right there in the browser.
Yeah, exactly. On the iPad, it almost looks like an app because it's a beautiful interface. So,
And one of the other things actually that I didn't mention about that is we've recently rolled out, both in the software and on the site, we bring back, you know, now related artists, related tracks, which is actually a great new discovery mechanism.
Yeah.
And the ability to embed an entire playlist, you know, or album or track, which is a great option for, you know, bloggers, anybody that's got a website. Now they don't necessarily need to go and, you know, search YouTube for one song and SoundCloud for another song and have all these various, you know, different embeds kind of one after another. You could just basically go and drop an entire playlist, and it will, you know, like Tomahawk, it may play the one song from SoundCloud and the next song from YouTube and the next song from RDO. So.
And you were mentioning the metadata aggregation side of things, which is at the core of the technology to be able to do that. Is there a fairly established standard at this point as to how these things are tagged, or is it still pretty messed up?
it's still pretty messed up across services. And, you know, we hit a lot of different APIs, and everybody does things slightly different. And certainly playlists, there is a standard for playlists called SPIF, you know, .xspf, which is kind of very much at the core of what we do, but not enough services expose, you know, the SPIFs of their playlists, because, you know, a lot of the subscription services view their playlists and your data as theirs, and a way to kind of, you know, lock you in and keeping you from switching.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we very much take the approach of, no, your data is yours, your playlists are yours, services come and go, they always do. And we've all had enough of us losing all our playlists over and over again. So, I would love to see more services support, you know, standards around playlists in particular. You know, we'll see if that happens, or whether we just have to kind of continue to be the man in the middle on that.
Sure, absolutely. And I mean, on the front of the subscription services, I think it's something that people are going to start feeling, you know, in the coming months, as people decide that they want to switch service or that they want to end a subscription, start another one. You know, it's a bit like when people wanted to leave the iPod and go with another platform, or any of those types of changes. If somebody's been with the same service for the last year, then they won't have any problem. But as soon as they decide to change, they're going to realize that all that data is locked into a service and they can't port it.
Right.
So I think that's really going to help a software like Tomahawk to gain recognition amongst people that are frustrated by this?
Yeah, so yeah, definitely the switching, you know, not that I necessarily, I mean, hopefully your subscription provider is not giving you any reason that you would ever want to switch, right? But
sure.
But certainly the data portability, this is the, you know, like I think I mentioned earlier, this is the biggest, one of the biggest issues I see is because there's no service on the planet that's available everywhere. That everybody uses, it's kind of stagnated the entire social experience around music because I've got friends that use different services that I do or live in different countries that I do. And when they post links to Twitter or Facebook or whatever, it's basically spam to me because I can't listen to it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the idea that there is some kind of like, you know, single, you know, a single link basically that works for everybody. I think what you'll see a lot more kind of interesting experiences grow from that, and you'll see us shortly actually exposing an API for Tom.hk that enables basically anybody, any service to be able to leverage a lot of the work that we've done under the hood.
That's great. That's awesome. And finally, like, how do you see Tomahawk evolve as a platform, as a software, and almost it's not a company, but as a project? Because you know, thinking about it, I just kind of the first thing that comes to mind is some sort of like Mozilla for music aggregation. It doesn't sound that it's open source, but
yeah, no, it's a great question, and you know, I think we're kind of figuring it out as we go. Our goal has been like try to build something that people love. And if people love it, then I think a path, you know, path or multiple paths will start to kind of present themselves to where we take it. But you know, certainly, you know, we love the fact we love being open source. You know, you speak of Mozilla. We're actually we actually participate in Mozilla's Web Forward program, which is their accelerator really around open source stuff. And so, you know, we really hope to continue to build out the open source community and the contributors. We already have, you know, a good chunk of people that have already contributed. And we see more people pop in every day into our IRC channel looking to help, which is fantastic. So yeah, I don't really know other than we just want to be really open to, you know, where the opportunities lie and how we can kind of help the overall both consumer experience and the business side of the industry kind of get past some of these sticking points where nobody's really been invested because they view it's not in their, you know, business best interest to enable things like, you know, things like this data portability and cross service, you know, translation layers and stuff like that. So yeah, sorry, not a super clear answer, but
It makes sense. Yeah. Absolutely. It makes sense. It's a day to day still. Cause, As you said, it's still a 0.5,
yeah.
So not 5.0. So.
Yeah, there's still a lot, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that we want to, you know, we want to get done before we feel like we can call it a 1.0, but every day, you know, we get really excited about kind of, you know, how far we've come and even, you know, there's always the next thing that we get really excited about. So, you know, we're already working on what will be in the next release and hopefully we'll have more people pop in and look for ways to contribute.
Well, it was absolutely a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on. And I just want to reiterate the websites. So it's tomahawk-player.org for the main website and to download the software. Then you can go on to toma.hk for the web interface. And also you can find download links on there. And it's for Twitter, is it Tomahawk?
It is.
Perfect. Yeah. And your Twitter handle is?
Jay Herskowitz.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much again, and I look forward to seeing how the project's gonna evolve.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. Digital music.